Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carl Felt is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard.
This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Prints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and a wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Prints at instantprints.com/Boise or call 200-IMPRINTS, that's 208-467-7468. Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carl Felt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Carl Felt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Welcome, Allison. I'm so excited you're here joining us today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
So we're talking, obviously, the podcast is about Lyme. And Lyme is such a devastating disease for so many people. They hit them in so many facets of life, mentally, emotionally, physically. How did it impact you?
How didn't it impact me, right?
Where do you start, exactly. Right?
Which aspect was not touched? It's exactly. Kind of like a car wreck, and we were able to save the ashtray.
That's perfect. That's a perfect analogy. Because it's so gnarly, right? It's such a complicated, complex manifestation of disease that it really does, like you said, it really does touch every aspect of one's life, to where even the mental, for me, that was a surprise for me, the mental and psychological struggles that come along with such a disease. That kind of took me by surprise, because obviously physically, it stole the greater part of 20 years of my life. And because I was undiagnosed for about 15 or 16 years. And only after that realization, I did start working on it before I received an official diagnosis, but it took about 7 years of just dogged determination to completely heal. So yeah, physically, emotionally, mentally, even spiritually, you know, because you go to those depths, you know, why is this happening? Why can I not participate in my children's birthday parties or soccer games? Or, you know, you feel like your life is stolen from you, in a sense.
I mean, exactly. I mean, you're a mother, and you want to be there when your children, when they have these important events, and you know that these events, I mean, they're growing up, and this is, you know, this moment is not going to happen again. And exactly. And here you are, and you can't be there.
Exactly. Yeah. And then all that mom guilt, right?
Yeah.
Because we feel guilty about anything and everything that goes wrong with our children. So if we don't make it to an event because we don't feel well, I grew up in an area of the country where we were told Lyme disease didn't exist. So it was all in our heads. So I actually believed that about myself. I believed that I was manifesting these symptoms and I was making it up, and that something was so wrong with me mentally. I was doubting my own sanity. And then I was blaming myself for being so sick and missing out with my children. So just such a vicious, nasty cycle.
Yeah, totally.
What part of the country did you grow up? I mean, I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm from Kentucky originally. Beautiful. I mean, beautiful country. Yeah. That you are one with the insects. We grew up in the woods. I was in the woods every day. I don't think it would be an exaggeration to say that I probably had hundreds of tick bites in my childhood. But the doctors at the time didn't, quote, believe in Lyme disease.
So, a lot of them still don't, unfortunately.
Isn't that insane? That's insane.
That is. Yeah. I didn't know that it was faith, you know, that it was faith-based, you know.
Right?
Yeah, I thought it was actually a physical. I don't know that, yeah, that we had kind of Lyme churches, you know, some that believe in it and some that don't.
Exactly.
So how did it all start for you as far as your symptoms and what were the doctors saying? Is that when they initially just started kind of putting you on down that mental anguish that it was all in your head?
Right. Well, it probably started somewhere in my mid-teens, maybe around the age of 16, that I started just having crushing fatigue. So I went from a normal, bubbly, really energetic teenager to just wanting to stay in bed all the time. I mean, just crushing fatigue to the point where I remember at the age of 18, my mom, who is a registered nurse, took me to see our pediatrician. That was the last year, you know, legally I would be seeing that pediatrician at the age of 18. And she did an examination and she told me that my body was bored and that I needed to exercise more.
Wow. Okay.
My mom knew something was wrong. She thought it was mononucleosis because that had been going around in our community at that time. And it just didn't go away. The fatigue never went away.
So you weren't, I mean, the doctor was thinking that you were lazy and your body needed, you need to get, focus a little bit more.
That's the message I got. And that's what I started to believe. And I think that was the planting the seed of that kind of mental anguish that you mentioned and just believing I really am doing this to myself, which was a complete lie. But I believed it for a very long time and that became my normal. I mean, it was just normal for me to be so, so tired all of the time.
Was that the only symptom you were dealing with?
Early on. And then it turned into the headaches, the joint pain, muscle pain. I didn't know for at least another 18 years that babesia was also a giant co-infection that I was dealing with. So a lot of muscle pain, a lot of air hunger, which I was told was anxiety. And maybe it was. When you can't breathe, you do get a little anxious.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've heard that comes along. We kind of like to have air, don't we?
Yeah. I was diagnosed with asthma when I was 21. I don't think I ever did have asthma. But I think it might have been that babesia air hunger that is so just relentless sometimes.
And what were the doctors saying about your joint pain?
I really didn't go. I didn't go to the doctor very much. I think I knew deep down in my gut that I wasn't going to be getting helped if I went. So honestly, throughout my entire 20s, I thought that was normal. I thought my normal was normal. It wasn't until I had my third child at the age of 29 that things took a really serious nosedive, where the neurological symptoms started to appear, including complex migraines that would last up to 5 to 7 days, seizures multiple times per week. The ocular migraines where you can't see for hours or sometimes an entire day, just really, really crushing symptoms like that. So when the neurological things started happening, that's when I started thinking, okay,
you can't ignore those.
I can't really ignore those. I mean, I really don't think I'm doing this to myself.
Oh, you still thought that that was in your head?
That I was so well-trained. Yes, I was so well-trained to think that, you know, it was all my fault. It was just, I mean, how horrible is that? But yeah. I fell through the cracks, but I also knew that if I had gone to the doctors explaining the things that were happening, something in my spirit just knew that that wasn't going to give me the help that I truly needed. So it actually came about through my oldest son, who had health problems as well. And I found, I really became an advocate for him, and I found him the help that he needed through a holistic center. And his doctor was the one who told me that he thought that I had Lyme disease and that I wasn't making any of this up. And he saw how exhausted I was. He actually saw me have a seizure in the waiting room. And he just begged me to come back and get treatment for myself. Wow. So that was kind of the wind beneath my wings that I needed to say, okay, I need to start focusing on this. This is not all in my head. Something serious is going on. It's only going to get worse if I don't tackle this.
I mean, you were dealing with a newborn, right? Because these symptoms appeared when with your third child.
Yeah.
So, you know, here you're dealing with all these neurological conditions. You can't see for a whole day and you know, yeah, migraines for 5 days. And I mean, and then you have to take care of a newborn.
A newborn, a toddler, and a 6-year-old.
Great.
Wow. And that's, I can't believe that these doctors try to convince us that it's all in our head, because I too, you know, went to the doctor multiple times, and I actually had my doctor call me one day and say, we see that you're on the schedule tomorrow and that you want to be seen again for your pain. And I said, yes, well, we've seen you so many times for that and there's nothing we can do for you, so I'm taking you off the calendar. And hung up on me. And that was my primary doctor of many years. What are you supposed to do? They don't believe you. But fortunately, I didn't quit. I didn't allow myself to think it was all in my head. But I absolutely can see how people do. They try to brainwash you, and it's horrible. And that's just while we're all here right now, just spreading the awareness that it's not in our head, you know, and we do need to be our own advocate to get the help that we need. So what type of, so you apparently went all holistic treatment through naturopathic?
I did.
And what kind of treatment was that like?
Yeah, it was intense, even though it was holistic, you know. I started treating something that had been lying, it wasn't really lying dormant. It was just having full reign in my body.
Right.
Yeah. It's taking over. Yeah. Cause I had having a party inside your body.
That's, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So even with the more gentle holistic treatments I did, which included, it was all very highly individualized. So my treatment protocol didn't look anything like anyone else that I knew. It was several herbs, a lot of homeopathic remedies, a lot of supplements, minerals, and vitamins. I was so depleted in every aspect. My doctor actually said if my ferritin levels with my iron had been any lower, I would be in a coffin.
Wow.
So that maybe that explains the fatigue with the
you think?
No fair. Yeah, Babesia, I've been chewing on
yes,
your yeah.
Exactly. Uh-huh. My spleen was so it had given up. In fact, it was another naturopathic doctor who was Lyme literate, who knew how to interpret the tests, even for people who had been ill with it for a very long time. When she looked at the test and she finally diagnosed me, she said, "I see a body who has given up. Like you're in the last round of the fight." Yeah. And so it was bleak. So we really had to build up a lot of those deficiencies pretty hardcore. And so I did end up herxing because like we said, I was tackling a monster that had just been having a party for years and years. So I herxed for about 4 straight months. I literally thought I was going to die every moment of every day. I couldn't walk to my bathroom, which was a master bathroom in the same, almost, you know, neck adjacent to my bedroom. I was crawling on all fours. And at this time my newborn was a toddler.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Awesome.
So they could move around, but you couldn't.
It's so true. It was my life. I got really creative parenting from the bed, and just, my boys are just, they're amazing. You know, they saw me go through all of that, and they were helpful, and they were just, they knew, you know, that their mom was doing everything that she could, but they were the ones who kept me going. Because as you must know, I mean, you can get to some really dark places of the soul when you are suffering that much for that long. And so they are the reason that I'm here, because I knew they needed their mother, you know?
Yep. I absolutely believe that. You know, sometimes I catch myself saying that Lyme is a mental illness, and I don't really mean it that way.
Right.
I think what I mean is it causes mental illness,
right?
Because it really does affect you. Myself, like you said earlier, that you were just a happy-go-lucky girl, lucky, you know, 16-year-old, and I was too. And when you go year after year in pain and fatigue and nobody will take you serious, you really have to kind of dig deep and find a reason to live. Because yes, if I couldn't have found one, I wouldn't be here.
Exactly.
So for you, it was your boys. And for me, luckily, it was my niece and my nephew.
Yeah.
And it's sad to say, but if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here. So I know exactly what you're talking about. So I'm grateful for your kids, for you, that they got you through what you needed to go through. So how long did this treatment take to make you start feeling better?
Yeah, it took a solid year to even start feeling marginally better, I would say. Mm-hmm. Once I did get to that point, I was able to start treating more locally and more, more of a low-key treatment, to where I wasn't herxing all the time. I did use a lot of traditional Chinese medicine. Acupuncture was a lifesaver, and so were the Chinese herbs and a lot of the nourishing properties that come along with that, because my body just needed, and my soul really just needed so much nourishment. Mm-hmm. After such a long, hard battle. I started a little bit of movement medicine when I was feeling well enough. I started just with 10 minutes of yoga a day in my bedroom, just 10 minutes a day. That evolved into some Tai Chi once a week. And I mean, for the first year that I was doing Tai Chi, I would leave that class and I would go home and be in bed for the next 24 hours. That's how difficult it was. But up here, once I knew, okay, this is for real and I'm not making this up. Once I knew that, I knew I could beat it, because I'm just a determined person. I think so many of these sufferers with Lyme, I mean, inside we are warriors. So once I knew that there was an actual real problem, I knew that I could fix it. And I knew that I could do it holistically, because that's what I just really believe in, the nature of the earth, and that there's so much here that we could use to heal ourselves and avoid a lot of the unfortunate side effects that come with the conventional methods. And I do know that there's a place for conventional methods as well, but in my particular story, a lot of it was done in the mind. Once I had a mindset shift and I realized how powerful that was, that gave me everything I needed. I'm a daughter of a Vietnam veteran.
Oh, so
and he used to
fighter.
Yes. And he used to tell us growing up, fake it till you make it. And yeah. I heard that little voice in the back of my head. And once the herxing was over, I was still in bed 90% of the time, but I thought, I'm going to sign up for a pre-med class because one day I'm going to treat other people. I'm going to be a doctor. I don't know how I'm going to get myself into the classroom, but I'm going to sign up and I'm going to commit and I'm going to fake it till I make it. And I showed up to those classes with crushing migraines, not being able to see straight because I still was seeing, having auras, and I was a train wreck, but I kept doing it. I kept showing up. I kept going to that Tai Chi class, and it just built and built. I kept doing all of the protocols with my supplements. And here I am, a high ranking Kung Fu martial artist.
Are you really?
Yes, sir, I am.
Oh, cool. My goodness.
How yes. Cool.
Yay, you. Wow.
It's just, you know, one of my mentors, I became trained in craniosacral therapy. So one of my mentors is Dr. John Upledger, and he's not with us on this side anymore, but he used to say about himself, you know, I'm too dumb to believe that healing is not possible. It's always possible. So I kind of had the same feeling. Like I'm too stubborn to accept failure.
Good.
Good for you. That's incredible.
Yeah,
that really is.
So I ask a lot of people that we interview the same question, but because always when they go through this horrendous journey of hurting, feeling horrible, you know, it's like a year of just misery, and you're still thinking that this is the way. You know, because most people, I feel horrible. I got to stop. This is not right. You know, this is what happens for the majority of people. But, you know, you're pushing through. So how did you know that this was the right thing when you're feeling so horrible?
Right. Gosh, that's a good question. And that's a deep one, because the tricks that your mind will play on you and the reality that your body is going through truly is screaming at you to stop. And so I think really just trusting my intuition. I'm a deeply intuitive person, but I think we all have those gut feelings and that deeper sense. If you can really tune into that, you know whether you're doing the right thing, even when you get to those questioning points. But also another part of that was, and that's where the traditional Chinese medicine came in for me personally, and there's other ways to do it as well, but just the nourishing aspect of saying, okay, my body is going through hell right now. I mean, it's taking, I thought it had taken all the suffering it could take, and apparently I was wrong. But that's where I really need to step up those nourishing aspects and work on something as simple as breath work or a guided meditation or talking to my provider about a supplement for whatever symptom is being really aggravated right now. So really tuning into the dynamic interaction between what the treatment, how your body is responding to the treatment, I think with a knowledgeable provider, it's just everything. It's everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And kind of going back to when you were diagnosed, you said you had this Lyme literate doctor that were looking at the, yeah, looking at the labs and seeing obviously your spleen had left the building. Yeah, it went with Elvis. Maybe living in Brazil somewhere. Yeah, exactly.
Where there's no ticks.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, right. Yeah. So what labs were they? I mean, what did they use to diagnose you with Lyme?
You know, I don't even remember. Isn't that ridiculous? I don't, but that was an intentional move on my part. That was me playing mental chess with myself, saying, I'm not going to get really into the labs and the diagnostics and the nitty gritty, because I knew for me, if I got there, I would never get out. And I would continue playing that that game with, okay, I have Lyme disease, I have Lyme disease, I have Lyme disease. And I needed to do everything in my mind to distance myself from that, to truly believe, to really fake it until I make it. So I went, I saw her, I got the diagnosis, I put that lab paperwork in a folder that I have no idea where it is now. And I just said, okay, upward and onward. I've got Lyme. We're gonna tackle it. So I don't even know.
Yeah, that's real cool. So that
you are a strong warrior. I'm telling you, a conqueror. Excuse me, you are a conqueror.
That's hilarious. I actually found out last year through my great aunt, who did a genealogy for my family, that I have a direct lineage to William the Conqueror.
Oh, really?
You are gosh.
Yeah, you're a powerful one.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing to have in my lineage, but it's...
Yeah. Well, you're ready to slay something, that's for sure.
Well, when you were just talking a couple seconds ago about, having that mindset of, how do you deal with continuing your therapy knowing that you were so sick, and how did you know if that was the right thing or not? Very impressive to hear your response to that, because my personal response was, or would be, I felt like I had no option. I was too sick that it was either die doing treatment or die without it. Sure. I didn't have the mental capacity or strength to even analyze it like you did. So that is very impressive. But I think it might also go back to just your own strength that you've had to build up, because you've been told for 20 years that it was all in your head. So Absolutely. So another thing too, you learn something, or you can take away something good from something bad, because you certainly are an inspiration. Absolutely an inspiration. Very impressive.
I think I've had the privilege of meeting so many people who have dealt with the same struggles. And I'm just a firm believer that we all find a way. We know ourselves better than anyone else does. And so we all find a way, whether it's finding out how to trick our own minds and play mental chess strategy games to re-identify as a healthy person rather than a sick person, or to like you said, like you got to that point where it's like, okay, this is a dead end road either way. Mm-hmm. I'm either going to go this route as a sick person and stay sick, or I'm going to die trying. And I think that's very much the survivor's spirit that gets us through these things.
Right.
Yeah, that's amazing. And your son, what was he dealing with? Your oldest son.
That's right.
Yeah. I think he also had babesia, and Lyme. I never did nail down an official diagnosis for him, because he ended up getting better. But he had a long, hard road with the croup virus, of all things. Anytime that he would get croup, his trachea would close, and then we were in the emergency room with him not breathing. In fact, in 2020, right before March of 2020, when the entire world shut down, we started off in February in ICU with his trachea completely closed and him intubated with strep, influenza, and the croup virus. And so we thought, February 2020 is over. Come on, March.
It's got to be better. Let's do it on the world scale instead.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And how old is he now?
So he's 13 now. And strangely enough, that event shocked his body into puberty, which opened up his trachea and his vocal cords. So I think, God willing, all of that's behind us now, because his anatomy was just different.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow. Yes. Let's hope that it's healthy from here on out for him.
So yes. How are you doing symptom wise now?
Yeah. Good question. I'd say 98% doing great. I still, the migraines are the ones, that's the one that's lingering. That's the Lyme really messed with my hormones, which is why I think it showed up after my third son was born. My body just gave in and said, okay, we're done. So it is hormone related. But I can say, instead of having 5 day long migraines, they're more like 5 hours and they're just kind of niggling and annoying rather than, you know, take me to the hospital and kill me now.
Exactly. Let's stab that ice pick in through my eye.
Twist it. I mean, they're just so brutal. Yeah. It's just awful. I have a lot of energy, which is great because I have
three boys.
Instead of having little boys, now I have much bigger boys and much more active boys.
Yeah, so you got to match that somehow. You know?
Yes.
Yeah. That's really cool. And I always like to end with, you know, the kind of final words of wisdom. I mean, what would you tell yourself or somebody that was in your position, you know, probably actually way before you were diagnosed, but, you know, when you're suspecting something like Lyme or something complex like that, you know, what kind of words of wisdom would be the one thing that you would really wish that they would know?
Yeah. I think trust yourself, trust your intuition, trust your gut, and find a good practitioner. Like I said, the area of the country I grew up in, it's really strange how much blind faith we put in our doctors. I mean, completely blind. So if you go in and they tell you that your problem is that you have a purple headed monster sitting on your shoulder, I know people who would walk away and say, well, my problem is I have a purple headed monster on my shoulder. That's my diagnosis. It's just a complete blind faith. So trust yourself. If you're getting advice that doesn't align with what you know to be true, keep looking.
Yes.
And find someone you can trust implicitly to work with you, who will listen to you. And just trust yourself. Your intuition and your gut will guide you in the right direction always.
It's great advice. Great advice.
That.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Really enjoyed your journey. Sorry you struggled for all those years, but sounds like it was worth it. Sounds like you've got three amazing boys and you're one strong conqueror. I know that for sure.
thank you so much. It's been just an absolute pleasure.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that. I guess with the William the Conqueror, you know, the force is strong in this one. Yeah.
That's what my 13-year-old would say.
Yeah.
You actually do have the force.
Yeah, I love it.
But really, we all do. I think we all do.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Allison.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only, and it's not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelimesolutions.com and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeldt.